From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can also hear the show at KCRW.com. Family and the ties that bind and sometimes strangle are the subject of writer-director Andrew Wagner's work. He dealt with in his first film, a largely improvisational film that used members of his own family, and his new film adaptation of Starting Out in the Evening, which he also wrote and directed. Family and those frictions and struggles and pressures and reliefs come in much more subtle ways, I think. First of all, Andrew, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you, Elvis. It's a privilege to be here.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. Now, for the audience, tell them what Starting Out in the Evening in broad strokes is about, because I know it's really more character than plot.
Starting Out in the Evening is the story of Leonard Schiller, played by Frank Langella. Leonard is a novelist who, in the evening of his life, has one thing left to do, and that's finish this novel that he's been working on for over 10 years. He wakes up each day to a routine defined by facing the solitude in his writing room and the emptiness of the blank page. His main contact to the world is through his daughter, Ariel, played by Lily Taylor. Lily is very unlike her father, untethered to either a career or a substantive relationship. She teaches Pilates in New York City, and whereas her father is a New York intellectual committed to the meaning of found in language and in stories built on language, Ariel is an action person.
These two films deal with kind of men sort of coming at the end of their masculine powers and those issues of abandonment and that kind of wake of abandonment and they left in their family lives and thinking of themselves as being two different people and having to reconcile all these broken pieces.
In addressing this idea of men whose lives are richer beneath the surface than they are in practice, whose lives are made up of...
Or richer in the abstract than they are in practice.
Yeah, because there's a loneliness, there's a disappointment, there's an unmet longing alive way beneath the surface. You know, while Alan Wagner, played by Alan Wagner in The Talent Given Us, and Frank Langella, his embodiment of Leonard Schiller in Starting Out in the Evening, they're both men who are surprised by how much they hurt and by the story they've told themselves and how different that is from the actual story of their lives.
It's The Treatment where you're listening to Andrew Wagner, writer-director of Starting Out in the Evening. The Alan Wagner you talked about in your first film, The Talent Given Us, is in fact your father.
That is my father.
And it's fascinating to me because watching a film that's really about relationships and relationships that are incredibly close to you that you've sort of used and fictionalized to some extent, but there's a lot of your real family in your first film. And seeing this film, it's so much because there's so much actual light in The Talent Given Us. I know these are certainly about what your restrictions or your limitations, but Starting on the Evening is a really autumnal-looking film right down to the color palette.
Sure. Well, they're two films that are similar and different. And it's interesting that they're similar because on their surface, they couldn't be more different. The Talent Given Us is very raucous. This is a family where there's very little subtext, or if there is subtext, it sort of comes out the other side after everything is said and new meaning has to reinvent itself after everything has been spilled. It's raucous, certainly. It's unfriendly in a warm and welcoming way.
But raw, I think.
And raw, extremely raw.
And there's polish in this. I mean, this is a very elegant film. All these things are really kind of, when there's a lot of anger, it's spoken in a way that it's more the repercussions of the blow than the blow itself.
Well, you have to serve, when you are serving the life lived below the surface is a decorous surface. And it's in creating that controlled surface where the strongest feeling is an idea that's gathering and something being worked toward. And Leonard Schiller is a man who has controlled his life, who has a fixed idea of himself, and in the evening of his life, in a certain sense, lets a sort of autumnal feel describe his very existence. It's cool. It's lonely.
And even though, like I say, in that color palette, there are lots of sort of browns and yellows and golds. It really is like watching a film that was filtered through autumn.
Right. Well, intentionally so. I mean, Leonard Schiller is going to thaw out, and it's going to thaw out in the warmth of his interior space. But we thought there would be a lovely contrast in embracing the coolness of winter and to marry the idea of his everyday life with the exterior of his life. But as we move toward the revelation of his untold story, the revelation of his feeling life, which has been too scary for him to feel, that's when we move into the warm colors of his interior space.
I guess I'm fascinated by this, too, because this film is really, I mean, there's so much movement in the talent given us. And this film, it really is about the way people inhabit spaces, particularly the way Leonard inhabits this space and this home of his.
Starting out in the evening called for elegance. I mean, the look of the film grows from a kind of classicism in the man, a man who has shaped his life in a traditional way. He gets up, puts on his tie each morning. He has a routine which involves his sitting down to work with his subconscious in a way, in a very traditional way. I don't think he's consciously aware of how active his subconscious is in his life. So therein lies the idea of the decorous surface. But the movie is moving toward the rupture of elegance. It's moving toward a detonation. But we needed to work with a very controlled surface. So the most minimal gesture from Frank's part would have meaning. And then, of course, when we arrive toward that coming together of that which has been denied, that which has been cast into the shadow region with that which now finds voice, you know, in his conscious life, in the text, in the present moment, you feel the weight of his collective history coming forward and breaking that safe and easy surface. In the talent given us, we were in motion. We were in motion in many ways, as emotion is itself in the film. These are characters who, are filled with dynamic feeling and don't really have a body for it. They don't really have experience with their history, a history of unhappiness, a history of love, and a history of the present, and a story, I should say, of the present moment where love and unhappiness want to work their way to some sort of idea of survival for the family. And it seemed to me that all of that energy would be best experienced if set in motion. The stillness in starting out in the evening, once again, has to do with this idea of water gathering below the surface, or the emotional life gathering as water does below the surface, so it can come together as a force. And to express not only a man's moment in time, but, you know, the vastness of his life. And that vastness includes that which he has been unable to say to himself, which in Leonard's case is he wasn't a good father. He was a rough guy in his most important relationships. He had committed himself to the solitude of his writing room and had closed the door on intimacy. And what happens to the artist who, in an effort to write about life, turns away from life? What is he left with? And by the end of his life, in the evening of his life, he's left with a need for change that comes from looking lucidly, you know, at the story he's told himself, and how it's been how he has shaped his own idea of himself in a favorable way. And he has to undo that so he can begin anew with a beginner's mind.
It's The Treatment. My guess is writer-director Andrew Wagner, his second film, which you're talking about now, is Starting Out in the Evening. And it's fascinating because his real art, his real authorship, is in that shaping of his life, which is why this novel that has really gone unwritten and unfinished, because his real authorship is in writing the book of his life.
Exactly. And the fact that his book has taken 10 years is an arrow toward this question. Who has he become? And who is he writing about? and as he lost the power to write nakedly and without protection about his innermost self, what about the innermost idea of humanity? And he comes into contact with Heather Wolfe, a young graduate student played by Lauren Ambrose, who in her love of his earlier books, which spoke of freedom, which spoke of personal liberation, addressed her condition, her need to find her path, her need to free herself from a condition of otherness. And her love for his early novels, filled with the passions and frailty of life, you know, have drawn her to him now at this late stage of his life when he is in a state of exile. And her hope is that with her graduate thesis, she will restore him to his throne. But in time, she comes to see that the second half of his canon, his later books, have become more theoretical. They've become more detached, more about social observation than about the drawing from raw experience and experience life in a raw way. And she challenges him on this point. She challenges him on the idea of temptation. Have you refused too much, Leonard Schiller? Have you taken your characters into hiding? Have you lost your hunger for being vulnerable? Have you lost touch with the hungers of the soul? And even though she's young and doesn't have enough life of experience of her own to speak from wisdom, she speaks from intuition and a hunch. And the movie leaves it up in the air whether or not she's right. But it's a question he must ask himself by the end of the film.
And it's kind of a continual question, isn't it? I mean, in that way you're talking about as being ambiguous, is really never answered.
Aren't all questions, I mean, in a sense, ambiguous? Aren't all the real questions or the right questions ambiguous? In art and in life, you know, I'm 44 years old, and if my life, if my own experience has taught me anything, is that nothing comes easily and there are no easy answers. But there are a lot of compelling questions. And I think that's what Leonard finds himself up against at this stage of his life. Are there any more questions for him to answer? And there should be, and there are. In a sense, in Leonard's case, life and art meet each other at the question of how do we live? How do we live? What is our art? How can art reflect on life? What is the meaning of life, and what is, and you know, how can art speak about that meaning? And I think Leonard arrives at a place where he may not have a firm answer, and that's important for him because I think he is someone who thinks he has had the answers. I think he is someone who thinks he's been following his characters and finds the courage to realize they haven't been doing anything interesting because, in a sense, like himself, they've stopped growing. And that's the one response I think that Leonard comes up with at the end that he can feel safe in saying that feels like an answer him to the question of meaning, which is stay open, don't close, attempt to grow, even in the evening of his life. Reinvent the self, renew the idea of self, and look at each new day and each new sentence and the blank page as the author with a beginner's mind. Not knowing.
We'll take a break. My guest is writer-director Andrew Wagner. His second film, which you're talking about now, is Starting Out in the Evening. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment, which you can also hear at KCRW.com. I'm pleased to have Andrew Wagner as my guest. His film, his second film about the trials and tribulations of family, is Starting Out in the Evening, which stars Frank Langella and Lily Taylor. These are fairly weighty films for a young man to write and direct and wrestle with, and films that certainly feel inchoate, that they're working themselves out even as you're making them.
Well, I'm not that young. I've been at this for going on 25 years. Beneath the detection of the naked eye, I suppose, unknown to any real and meaningful audience.
But these are the kinds of films that are kind of, in ways, summing up films. You know, the two men summarizing their life, or at least looking back on a life lived and asking themselves, what's the difference between the lives they had in their head and the lives that they actually inflicted on the world? And these are pretty interesting topics for somebody to make movies about in his 40s.
Well, it's interesting, and it didn't come as planned. You know, my most immediate response to that is that I've learned from my own life experience that life is an evolutionary process. And when I think about that theme in terms of my own work, in my last two films, I've been drawn to talking about that idea in older men because, in a sense, taking on this idea later in life is the most direct expression of the importance of growing at all costs at any age. Because at this time, at my father's time of life and the talent given us as at Leonard's time of life in starting out in the evening, we have men who have done who have lived their lives, who have done their growing, who have made their statements. That's particularly true of the Alan Wagner character in the talent given us, because he is not an artist and he is not working with the idea of change or transformation, as Leonard Schiller must as an author. But that's where I think starting out in the evening embraces a little more complexity, because it takes on a character who in his daily grind approaches the question of transformation. He looks at character, he looks at life, and he's looking for the collision between the two in order to speak about what humanity goes through. But the irony here is, in his own life, he's removed himself from the intimacies that put him at risk. And I suppose one of the things that the struggles of my own life have taught me is that emotional risk is where it's at. That's where real change comes from. That's where real growth comes from. That's how we stretch our life muscle as artists. And that's how we make our relationships work. We avail ourselves. We open ourselves. And I find that theme dominating almost everything I've been working on for the last 10 years. This idea of surrender, this idea of opening rather than closing. And while I didn't set out to tell, to bring this theme to the story of older men in the evening of their lives, these stories, we found each other. And I think I had mastered complicating my life until my 40th birthday, and waking up at 40 and finding myself nowhere near where I wanted to be, I decided to bring a simple word into my life, which was yes. And in different ways, for different reasons, these two films presented themselves.
It's The Treatment. My guest is writer-director Andrew Agnew. We're talking about his film starting out in the evening. But even though the men certainly are central to this, women are crucial to these films too, which I also find kind of fascinating, because you're playing out people who seem fairly different from your own life. You know, these women who are rebelling in their very specific ways against these father figures who have not lived up to maybe promises or at least the ideals of these women have of what fathers should be.
You know, we're telling stories about oneness and sameness and about humanity. And it's the separations go away when we're talking about need and longing and loss and the stains of life and how we come to understand them. And, you know, in this particular story, in starting out in the evening, I had a great personal relationship, from a subtextual standpoint, with both Heather Wolf, Lauren's character, and Ariel Schiller, Lily's character. But I related deeply to Lily's character. I related deeply to the idea of waking up at 40 and being very distant from the life I had imagined for myself. And in Lily's case, as in her portrayal of Ariel, she feels the biological clock ticking. She feels her need, her sort of artistic need, to present itself in the more practical realm of motherhood, of family, of relatedness. And she meets the love of her life, which is seems like the stars are lining up. Of course, he still does not want children. This is Casey Davis, played by Adrian Lester. And their relationship had broken up years before for the same reason. And he has not shifted in his capacity to want to be a part of family and to sacrifice his dreams in the name of family. And this is reminiscent, of course, of the father, who whose approval she has been seeking since the beginning of time.
It's fascinating to me because in Starting Out the Evening, you have sort of two kind of daughter figures, one who's completely loyal and wants him to be this thing that she's been reading of, this ideal she has of what Schiller is supposed to be. And the other is this daughter in revolt who has to sort of figure out what she wants to be and how far that is from this ideal her father has of her. I mean, it really is about people wrestling with these two selves. That's so key to all these characters, constantly kind of trying to figure out what they want versus what they actually are.
I think in many ways you just perfectly expressed the very event of living, which is, which is to my mind, this act of contrasting needs. We are pulled in many directions, and we are pulled by our need to individuate. We are pulled by our need to get along in the world. We are pulled by the need to self-sustain, to find comfort in closeness. But to grow our capacity to see succeed in any of these, we are also asked to open. We are also asked to meet intimacy in a brave and fearless way. And jumping into the void, as this experience may be felt in our early years, is frightening. And I think in many ways the question of our 30s and 40s is how far afield have we gone acting out our fear of intimacy, acting out our fear of what life is really calling us to do, which is to sit still in the truth of our lives. So all of these needs, may line up in the same person.
It's the treatment, my guess, is writer-director Andrew Wagner. We're talking about his film Starting Out in the Evening, which I guess for me, I'm fascinated in that this is a lot of movie, and especially given the way you reshaped the novel to cram into an 18-day shoot for not a whole lot of money. Now, I realize it's a lot more money than you had to spend on the talent given us, but still not a lot of money in a fairly contained schedule with obviously a number of limitations.
Yes, limitations did rule the day. We had $500,000 to make the film, and that was admittedly quite a bit more than $30,000 I had to make the talent given us. But we only had 18 days to shoot the film, 18 days to shoot 100 pages, and that's a tight schedule. It wasn't going to change, though. And, one piece of my education of how I mismanaged my life in the 30s was to sort of work in this in accord with this transcendent ideal that I would live maybe till I was 150 years old, and because I maybe thought that I could write 500-page screenplays in search of the meaning of the stories themselves, what was driving those characters, and my own voice as a writer and hopeful filmmaker. Hence, I did find myself at 40 not being a filmmaker. So along with saying yes to opportunities in their most simplistic form and just keeping on point, keeping on path, and getting the film made, I knew these limitations were real, and I took them on, and I let them be a harnessing factor. What I gave up on were the bells and whistles. But what those were, I can't even begin to say. They probably would have been a little more flourish in design elements if I had the time and the money. But what we did have was an ability to tell a story about human beings. And if you have a camera and you have the words on the page, and most importantly in this case, the brilliant actors that I had a chance to work with, Frank Langella, Lily Taylor, Lauren Ambrose, Adrian Lester, if you have those actors, if you have the words and you have a story you believe in, you can set humanity on its feet and you can put that in front of the camera. And through that image and through the spatial relationships of the actors, you can sort of shoot an arrow to the heart of the story, which is the heart of the characters. And that's what we decided to do. We decided not to worry about what we couldn't achieve, but concentrate on what we could achieve. You know, we're sitting here talking because of my great fortune to work with actors who are, you know, or I should say world-class actors, each of them among, you know, the best of their generation. And because of their commitment to making a film in 18 days, Frank Langella and I rehearsed every night upwards of 6 hours in the month leading up to the film. And I had a similar experience with Lily and Lauren. These actors are defined by their passion and their bravery and their truth-seeking. And they all wanted to be brave. Frank Langella, more than anything, wants to be brave as an actor, which means here's a man with more skill and more talent and virtuosity than just about any of us can hope to have in anything we do in our lives. But he didn't want to give a performance from that virtuosity. He wanted to give a performance from his vulnerability. He wanted to give a performance that came from his deep, true connection to the disappointment, the longing, the loneliness in Leonard Schiller's life, in his connection on a cellular level to everything that was frightening for this man to feel. And when you're in your 70s and you're frightened of your interior life, those feelings get pushed to a very buried place. They live way below the surface. And Frank's story, you know, commitment in telling the story was a commitment to bringing the long suppressed to the surface in a way that even frightened him. And he didn't want to know exactly when and where he would feel what he would feel, and hence the rehearsal, and hence the pursuit of catharsis, of finding that point of identification between Frank Langella, who is just, you know, one of the most powerful people you'll ever meet. He's a force of nature, a force of life, who gave everything to hook up with the fear and the secrets of this man.
Well, we're out of time. Andrew, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you, Elvis. It's I told you before we came on the air, I used to, in the lean years, I'd be driving in my car in Los Angeles listening to the show. Yeah, I could just hope that one day we'd have a chance to talk this way. So I'm honored in a way that's just very profound for me. So thank you for taking this time.
Well, thanks so much for doing that. And, you know, keep listening in the car. Our technical director is Paul Ruiz at Argo Network in New York. Bob Carlson is the editor. Gemma Dempsey is the producer. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.